Tonight on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we're talking about Daredevil Season 3, Episode 9, Revelations. All that right after this. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And my name is Alyssa Terry.
Hey, Alyssa. What's going on?
Not much. Just still here, Jeff.
Just really, like, twist the guilt screws every time Jeff's not here. So when he finally hears back, he's, you guys are assholes.
He's not going to listen to this.
Yeah,
he's going to feel too. He's going to feel too jealous.
Yeah, that's true. He will feel jealous. I hope he is listening to this. I hope he is feeling jealous.
Hi, Jeff.
Spoiler alert for this episode. This is the episode where Daredevil has found out about his mother. We get tons of revelations, as it were, about his mother and like why she left him. It was postpartum depression, all of that. And as at the same time, we find out, I guess there's bigger, it's called Revelations, makes sense. There's big revelations in every kind of area of the story. There's the revelations about his mother that are having this huge impact. There's these revelations that the entire FBI, it seems like, has been completely taken over by Fisk.
Yeah.
Not just one or two agents. This is like the entirety of the infrastructure has been taken by Fisk. And then on the crime lord side, you have the revelation that Kingpin, which he has finally adopted that name, or adopted, that's the wrong word, he's finally taken that name. Kingpin is going in and offering for a 25% take on all criminal activity. He's going to protect all of the criminals from criminal prosecution, federal prosecution. That's crazy.
Yeah. What's crazy is that he originally offered 20%.
Yeah, and then killed someone.
And then just made it 25.
Yeah. Nuts. He just looks like he has the entire world in his pocket, because not only does he have the FBI, basically he has everything that used to be standing against. He has the entirety of the criminal justice system and the vigilantes that used to oppose criminals right by his side.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah, he's got everyone.
Yeah. I don't know how our characters get out of this.
I don't either. I don't see a way.
Yeah.
I know that I feel positively that Daredevil's going to pull it off.
There will be something. There will be some form of, but I just don't know without, there's going to be losses. It's going to have to be, like, they're going up against such a great enemy.
Right.
It's insane. Probably the most heartrending moment was when Sister Maggie found out that Matthew knows.
Oh my gosh, her scream.
Her screams and cries.
I feel like this, and it was not, I was really impressed with the actress.
Yeah, me too.
Because she didn't sound pretty, right?
No, she was ugly crying straight
up. It was
up.
Awful. Like, it was so hard. I wanted to turn it off.
Yeah, me too.
It hurt to listen to.
It hurt me a lot. It felt like realistic crying from a woman that age.
Right.
Who's like really going through horrible pain.
Right. That one was really hard.
It was really, really, really hard. It was the backstory was really hard too. It's just the truth is it was just postpartum depression at a time where they didn't understand postpartum depression.
Right. And so she's got all this like religious stuff, like she was planning on, you know, taking her vows, and then she got unexpectedly pregnant, and then she has this whole new life, and then that would make anyone like without having just had all the hormones and whatnot of pregnancy feel things, and then the combination and
it just felt that combination of that like horrible depression just served as like confirmation that she was doing the wrong thing by living this life.
Right.
It was rough.
Yeah.
It was really hard to watch.
I can't get over, and I know this isn't probably that pertinent, just like the age difference of Maggie.
Right.
And I don't know if they just didn't want to recast.
They should have recast the dad.
Because he looks like he looks like a creepy old man who had sex with a minor.
Yeah, he does.
Kind of.
She looks about 16 and he looks about 35.
At least.
Yeah, it's not great. I wish they'd recast him for that part. Because he still, you know, he still looks great in the later scenes.
Right.
But yeah, they should have recast him for that.
Yeah.
They recast her. I mean, obviously he's dead, so he's like maintained his like 30s or whatever. But yeah, he looks way old for her.
Yeah, it looks creepy. It's kind of like, yeah, you leave him. Well, I mean, not the baby too, but
yeah, it's rough. It's rough to watch, and I felt so bad for, you know, his dad. Speaking of the dad, Matt's dad, one of my favorite scenes this episode was the scene where Matt's dad is talking to him. We've been talking about how much we love these Kingpin scenes, but now he's starting to have the secondary voice in his head of his father, who now he feels like lied to him, and it's another man that abandoned him. And he's just, and when his father and Fisk's voices meld into one, and then it just fully turns into Fisk.
Right.
That was some genius. And says, you're convincing yourself that it's God. Like, he's so good.
Yeah. The whole thing
so freaking
just
good.
It's nice hearing what's going on through his head and like how dysfunctional it all is. And cause it's all coming from him and the things that he's putting on what Kingpin is saying and what his dad is saying. Cause neither of them are there to speak for themselves. It's just sort of his, his impression and his thoughts and internal dialogues.
Yeah. His internal dialogues and these with his father are interesting, especially now that he feels like his father's betrayal is even deeper than just abandoning him.
Right.
And when he said the thing about, I don't have bullshit, codes. I don't let bullshit codes disappoint people anymore or something like that.
Right.
And then he's talking about his code of his father not wanting to go down, but then he's talking about his own code of not killing people.
Right.
And that he's letting that code go because his father's code only ended up bringing pain.
Mm-hmm. And so now he feels like if he kills Kingpin, then he resolves it all and helps stop the hurt of his community and his friends.
Yeah. And I mean, we're also, we talk about all the time on the cast, the relationship between him and Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this whole thing is pushing him towards being Punisher. Like, he is, his like idea of killing is just, you can't talk about it without talking about his many conversations with Punisher about the same topic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not who Matt is at this point. But I don't know. I don't know. I could absolutely see him crossing that line this season. And I don't know if I want him to or not, because I definitely sometimes fall on Punisher's side, especially when you have someone like Kingpin. Like,
right, and he's so unstoppable, and he just hurts everyone he comes in contact with.
I don't know how to stop him but to kill him.
Right. I don't want Matt to cross the line. I don't know why he's just Matt to me.
I know. Well,
but I'm excited.
What makes him, you know?
Yeah. But I like that he has the real internal struggle. Like, I'm not really entirely positive what he's going to do.
Me neither.
Right. Like, I always know that Captain America is going to come out on, you know, one side for the most part. But I don't feel that way about Daredevil at this point.
Right. He's gone through a lot of dark things.
Right.
And Daredevil, I mean, if you talk about Captain America, Captain America has this optimism that everything's going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Daredevil is not necessarily optimistic at all.
Nope, he doesn't have that at all.
Like, Captain America thinks that if he just holds onto Thanos' fist hard enough, he can keep him from snapping, you know? Like, he just, like, I can just, with my pure force of will, stop this without any losses. And Daredevil knows that he is always on the edge of losing himself.
Mm-hmm.
From the very first, I bring it up all the time, every time we talk about this Daredevil show, the first scene of Daredevil is him sitting in that confessional booth, and it's all about, like, him not wanting to cross the line and become the person that he is right now talking about becoming, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, he's even worried about just going out at all and being a vigilante at all and opening himself up to the violent side of himself that him and his father have. And now he's like just ready to go full on if it means stopping Fisk. And I don't even think that's necessarily wrong, you know? Like, I would be okay with him killing Fisk, but I would hate it for him.
Right, how much that would tear him up.
Yeah.
And that would be the end. Like, I don't know that Matt could come back from that.
I don't know. I just don't know.
Oh, no.
So, one thing I did also want to bring up, we're talking about things that really broke my heart this episode, were his conversation with the priest when he touched him on the shoulder and said, "Shame on you."
Mm-hmm.
That was maybe one of the hardest things I've said. That watching that priest accept that, and just, you know, that's just, that's how it is. That's how he feels, and he's totally justified in feeling that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
I thought the scene around the, I guess, the boardroom or whatever, that back room where all of the agents who Fisk had, like.
Oh yeah, we haven't even really gotten to touch that on that.
Yeah.
That, well, the whole scene where she kills the lawyer.
Right.
The OPR, I think they call it. Mm. It's basically internal affairs. She kills that internal affairs lawyer to, like, to cover for Nadim, but then also frames him for the murder.
And she's like the whole time just like shaming him for having the meeting at her house.
Yeah. You, like, brought this home to my house.
And she used to have another son.
Yes, apparently. Oh. That's how Kingpin won her over, was killing one of her children and saying he will kill the other one.
Right?
That's insane.
Ugh. And that also, like, brings home the real fear of Nadim. Like,
absolutely.
Like, this can absolutely happen. So it's happened to someone I know.
Yeah.
And then, so then all the agents are sitting around, and that's when Kingpin gets his code name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that,
but just
that
seeing how many agents were around the table that were involved, and
yeah,
and I just wasn't expecting it. I don't know why.
And the fact that, oh, we didn't talk about this yet either. There's so much in this episode. This episode is so thick and so good. Foggy, we find out his whole family.
Oh yeah,
has been marked by Kingpin for over a year.
Like, right.
This stuff, they've been, and I think, Kingpin has been laying all this stuff into their lives, like trapping them into these situations long before he was out of prison.
Ugh.
This is like a really intense man. I don't know how he has as much time to do all this stuff as he,
right.
He has blackmailed so many people into this, into his core of, you know, soldiers.
And just seeing how much it hurt Foggy, he was like ready to lose it all and go toe to toe, and then his brother, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And what does Foggy do in that situation? I genuinely don't know how Foggy is going to do that.
He just looks so.
He's either going to abandon his quest and his purpose, or abandon his family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's hard.
I don't know how any of the characters get out of this.
I don't either. Kingpin is such a good bad guy, and somehow he's still doing it for love. Vanessa,
and
doing it for Vanessa. It's crazy.
And I still, this is off, I still really like Kingpin.
Oh, yeah, me too.
He's so charming.
Yeah,
weirdly charming. Even though he's, like, creepy and awful, he's still, like, maybe I would want to go to dinner with that guy.
Oh, yeah, he's a poet. Like, yeah. every major, like, little monologue he gives is amazing. My favorite thing about Kingpin, and I've been meaning to bring this up because he's done it a lot this season, someone asks him a yes or no question, and he goes into a 5-minute monologue.
Or he tells them a story.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That, like, just paints the picture of where he's coming from.
There's like...
So it's almost like if morality were different than it is, like, I could get behind Kingpin. You
yeah,
know?
For
it's
sure.
Crazy.
For sure.
And I know that he's the worst.
Yeah. He makes us see things from his perspective by, like, wrapping us in these stories where he's the protagonist.
Oh, and I'm like, yeah, man. Wait, I'm not supposed to be doing that.
Yeah.
Sorry. You're the worst. And his smile.
His smile, where he smiles instead of with the corners of his mouth.
With, like, the corners of his nose.
He like, raises the front of his mouth to create a, show his teeth. Looks more like a growl than a smile, but somehow it's like looks. A,
yeah.
He's something. He's so childlike in some ways.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. You don't think
see.
So?
I don't see him as being childlike.
I feel like he's sort of emotionally childlike.
Mm.
He seems sort of emotionally stunted. Like he doesn't. He's not comfortable with himself. Like the way he moves his like his hands and face and body. They don't. Mm, he doesn't always seem that. To have the, like, full faculties of a grown adult's emotional expression.
Yeah, and his obsession with Vanessa seems more like a thing at this point. Like, it's something to obsess over.
Right.
Like, he hasn't talked any about much of, like, the qualities of Vanessa. I miss this or that. It's like, I need to get her back.
Right. Okay, I can see that. I don't know. He seems to be genuinely love her. I don't know. I his love for Vanessa is strange, and it makes him all the more complicated. Yeah. They've done such a good job of making such a complex villain
right.
out of Kingpin.
I almost don't want him to get defeated and go away.
Oh, me neither. I don't want him to go away at all. I want him to win somehow and then like have even a greater thing for Daredevil to face next time.
Right.
I would love to see, honestly, I would love to see like the next, if they do another Defender series,
mm-hmm.
Kingpin is such a formidable foe. I would love to see them all facing off with Kingpin as like a leader of like a team of bad guys or something. Mm-hmm. I could see Kingpin putting them all in such a horrible situation.
Yeah.
Last thing we haven't touched on is the final moments of the episode. We think Daredevil is infiltrating the club where all these crime bosses are meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out he has infiltrated the tower where Kingpin is living.
Mm-hmm.
And he has made it into his command center. And he is ready to strike. Ready to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
But this puts him in the unique position to also hear what they're talking about. And he finds out that Karen Page has been found by Kingpin.
Right.
And he is left having to make the choice between staying there and killing Kingpin, finishing off this whole story, and it may be his only chance, according to this woman that's sitting there with him,
mm-hmm.
or going to save his friend.
Right. I don't envy the woman at all.
Oh, I feel so bad for her.
Because she didn't do anything wrong, in a sense. Like, she's just been part of what's wrapped. Like,
Everyone around Kingpin has just been wrapped up in this. In some cases, it seems like he lets them do a small sin of some sort. But like the Foggy situation, like his family did like falsify their loan.
Right. But they were coached on it and they were in a desperate situation.
Right,
and,
right. But he offered them.
But they would have never thought to do those things if not specifically coached and manipulated into it.
It's crazy.
Ugh.
So I think Matt is probably not going to get a chance since we know we have 3 or 4 more episodes. I'm pretty sure Matt is not going to open the episode by killing Kingpin.
Wouldn't that be crazy, though?
What a twist.
What if he just, like, goes in, kills Kingpin, and then goes back for Karen?
And Karen's dead. And she's like, well, that's a sad ending. That's a weird, sad ending. Now we get 3 episodes of, like, Matt Murdock in a padded cell. Just, like, going crazy because he broke his code and he...
There's so many internal dialogues I want to see him have, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, I'd love to see Matt Murdock in a padded room talking to Kingpin and his father.
And Maggie
and Ghost
now.
Ghost Karen and Ghost Punisher. I could watch that show. I could watch a season 4 of Daredevil that's just Daredevil in a padded room talking to all these complex characters.
Right.
Through the filter of his own mind.
Yeah.
All right. I think we're done with this episode.
I need more.
We are the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. Hit us up at mcucast.com, at mcucast on Twitter, facebook.com/mcucast, mcucast@gmail.com, or call us at 573-CAST-MCU. If you'd like to support the cast and get these episodes a little faster, go to patreon.com/mcucast. We really should have all these episodes, all 13 episodes, in the next couple days. So check it out right there. If you want to get them quicker. Otherwise, we'll be dropping them every day between now and however many days we have left, 13 days total. So we'll be dropping one of these a day until we're finished with Daredevil. So season 3. Thank you guys so much. Until next time, true believers.